All right, we're back, and joining us in the studio right now are Trent Miller and Toby Kaufman-Bueller, a pair of visual slash installation artists, and they have a new exhibit up at the James Watrous Gallery at the Overture Center. The exhibition is called Hidden States. That's Toby's installation, and Trent's is called Spindrift and Tether.
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit, Trent, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the titles of your exhibition is about?
Spindrift and Tether comes from Spindrift is a sailing term. So I noticed I was painting and drawing these images. They started to have this almost nautical theme with water and lots of wind. And spindrift is a very, it's not quite to tsunami state, but it's really windy. So some of the pieces were really feeling like that and feeling this nautical theme. So I went with spindrift. And then there's others where things are kind of tied down and feeling like there's ropes almost over these abstract shapes and pulling them down. So that's the second part, the tethering.
And Toby, your exhibition is called Hidden States. Why that?
So it's kind of in reference to the medium that I work with, especially video, where the essentially it's framing things out from the world. So you have a lot going on outside of the frame that's suggested in the videos, but never really seen, and everything that's seen within the videos is just within the frame. So it's kind of a structural device, but it's also referring to a lot of the content of the pieces as well. A lot of what's happening is there are a lot of hidden activities and things that are referenced, but not fully explored, not fully seen.
Okay. Now, I did manage to attend part of the opening, which was on, was that Saturday?
Friday,
excuse me. Yeah, it's been, that weekend flew by. So it's Friday night, and I spoke with Jennifer Kaufman-Bueller, excuse me, who's your wife, and we have a clip of her explaining part of your piece. Okay. Laura? We'll get that up for just a second.
So we're right now we're looking at 24 screens with hands forming birds that are sort of soaring and flying across the screens. And you see sort of some repetition of some similar kinds of images. And this is kind of connected to Toby's process, where he sort of takes a piece of video and breaks it up into 24 individual frames and then generates an entire frame of those 24. So that's how this is kind of produced.
So it looks kind of like hand shadows.
Exactly, like shadow puppets, in fact. It's kind of one of the inspirations, definitely.
What's it like living with this kind of art in your house?
Well, mostly it's not terribly intrusive, but I do get used to the sounds, the endless sounds of certain videos going over and over again, because there's lots of repetition in our house. So hearing certain things a lot. And for a while, you can see these screens hanging. There was a period when he was first experimenting with these screens. They were hanging in our living room. So that was a lot of fun to have sort of paper screens hanging, trying to mimic that. And, you know, so mostly, though, it's just very, very tedious, time-consuming stuff for him. And he sits on the couch next to me and does his very, very intensive video editing. And I sort of watch and go, God. I'm so glad that's not my job.
Now, did you know that he was involved in this kind of sort of obsessive behavior when you met him, or is that a surprise?
Well, I did meet him. I did know he was a video artist. He hadn't yet developed quite this level of obsessiveness at the time, so this has developed since we've been together.
All right. Well, Toby, that was your wife Jennifer's interpretation of your piece while we saw
great.
It. So, tell us a little bit about the piece that she was describing, which is it looked like a sort of three-dimensional arrangement of small video screens. What was your thought process in putting that together?
Well, it's this video called Unseasonal Events Change Hands, and it's a collaborative piece with this composer. So you hear it actually in that clip in the background, these sounds. That's Nathaniel Bartlett. He composes the music. And so it was a collaborative piece with him. And what I wanted to do was kind of work on a relationship between kind of work and play. And so I built up this video based on a lot of hands doing activity through in the video, playing with leaves, dropping leaves, brushing leaves off of the screen, and essentially creating these like hand, what I call hand birds, these like sort of silhouetted birds using hands on the screen and very playfully. And
whose hands were they?
And they were my hands and my wife's hands. So we were kind of playing together on screen. And so, and actually it's probably the first time that we've appeared, I think, on screen together in one of my pieces, which is kind of funny after 10 years, almost over 10 years of being together. It was just a very kind of playful piece for me, and one that I feel was very open-ended, but I feel worked out really well.
Tell me a little bit about the technical aspects of putting something like that together. I mean, one of the things that struck me is that you've got multiple focal planes going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. Are those all individual projectors, or what did you do to get that image in focus, even though they're all in?
It's one projected image on the 24 screens, and the depth is basically an illusion that's just created by the distance of the screens from the projector. So it's this, actually my collaborator, the composer, Nate Bartlett, and I built this frame to hang the screens from, and I made the screens out of cloth. They're just very translucent, very thin cloth, and the image is project onto them, and you can see the image on both sides. And so the depth is just created by that distance from the projector.
So they actually are all on the same plane.
Yeah, they're all. So if you see the original video, it's just four rows of six images each on each row, and they're all the same size.
It's quite an illusion. I mean, when you go there, you really get a real sense. And in fact, I walked around the installation, which is a nice feature. You can get to the back side of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice that they were all in the same plane. Still looked, you know, from all angles, it still looked like it was in a three-dimensional space.
If I'd made it more expanded, if the screens were more distant from each other, then that illusion would be more broken because the focal plane would be larger.
Okay. And turning now to, I'd like to turn now to Trent Miller's work, who's sharing the exhibition space with you. And while at the opening, I got a chance to talk to Donna about some of the charcoal drawings that were on exhibit, and Donna had this reaction.
Pin down these little, whether that's a detached hand or a glove, we don't know. And there's a little mouse or cat. Or what is it, with nails in its tail?
This is clearly a map of some kind.
Right, string. So, some sort of bulletin-boarded map with a string on it.
It's vaguely like Europe, in sort of a abstract kind of way.
And there's a stair, or a railroad, or something, going from the boot of Italy up north. Is that Spain? Is that Portugal?
Could be. Spain, Portugal.
There's a directional map here.
Right.
And this, I thought, was Cleopatra.
Sorry, what? Could you repeat that?
Cleopatra's headdress is on this one.
And who's this gentleman in the devil mask next to her, do you think?
That's a good question.
They Offered Us Fish, I believe is the title of this one. There's the fish.
There's the fish. Would you take a fish from this they?
I don't know. Who do you think they are?
Is it an acronym?
Oh, T-H-E-Y? Do you think it's the same they in each of these three sequences?
Well, it's spelled the same, and it's italics, and it's got italics, and it's capitalized the same, so that implies it's the same they. But is it? We don't know.
And they appear to be in some kind of, I can't tell if that's a cave or if these are tips of icebergs here.
Could be either one. They have shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're icebergs. If they are, then this is water.
Yeah.
And this is a table sitting on water.
Well, there is fish there, so maybe there's a connection there.
Right. So we have a series of mysteries here, don't we?
Do you like this stuff?
I'm not sure. I'm still making up my mind about this. I like things that are accessible, but not too accessible, so you have to work a little bit to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
But here we're being teased, so I'm not sure I like that.
Trent, are you trying to tease your audience?
No. that was great. I think I like what she said, where she likes things to be... I like things that have open-ended narratives that are full of mysteries. So many of the things she said in there were perfect. Maybe it didn't quite catch her as teasing, but I'd like to think that I'm giving the viewer just enough to get in there and go into this mystery. But I do like that it is open-ended, and it always just feels a little off, like you can't quite get the whole story that's going on. And, you know, you bring your own parts to it. It was great to hear some of the things she said, like, about Cleopatra. I love that she said the word they about four times in the, you know, in the interview. Is great.
So is that the kind of reaction you hope to provoke when you produce art? When you make a drawing or something like that in an exhibit, are you hoping everyone loves it and says, oh, this is fabulous? Or are you hoping to try and tweak them a little bit and make them think, gee, I don't know if I like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, both are great. I guess what I would say is that I like it when people have to think a little bit about it, you know. It's the same thing with the kind of movies that I really like. They're the kind where you have to... You're not quite sure. Wait a minute. Do I really like that? I'm not really sure. And what does the ending mean to that? Or it's open-ended, you know, the ones that have some more mystery to them. So I love that they definitely are thought-provoking.
Now, you've arranged them, these drawings, in such a way that it appears that there is some kind of through narrative, at least in each set. Is that what you were thinking of when you started putting them together? And did you think of them as a series, or did you start drawing them and then realize that there was a common theme after you put them together?
Yeah, I've been doing these charcoal and paper drawings for 14 years, but this little set was done in the last probably 6 or 8 months, with they being the characters. And they, I felt like, as I say they, I felt like the little sets, they're in, I think, three different sets. They do kind of go together. The one has all these devil mask characters that she referred to all together. One of the other sets... has kind of, it's almost like in a museum, like they've collected these things in a museum. And then the first one you see as you first come in is called They Discover the Healing Machine, which plays into all the paintings also with this shape that I've been calling, or initially comes from something called a healing machine from this outsider artist, Emery Blagden.
And the healing machine ends up... getting cartered off on a pirate ship in one of the...
It does, yes. So in the narrative, excellent. The narrative that I came up with on my part of it was that they had discovered this healing machine and decided they were going to bring it back to where they live on this ship.
Okay. And then you've got some more abstract sort of paintings hanging there too. Tell us a little bit about those. And how do they relate?
Yeah, it's interesting. That was one of the things, even a couple months ago, I was kind of banging my head against the wall. How do these relate? Or maybe they don't. You know, people are complex. Maybe I just do two very separate things. And they started really playing together the closer I got to the show and made more drawings. The abstract shapes started making it into the drawings, I would say. Yeah, the abstract, the bigger ones, I always say, they're much slower. The drawings are like a little snapshot, and the bigger ones are almost like a feature-length movie, where I'm spending a lot more time on them. They're slower, and they have less of a direct narrative. They're more of these abstract shapes with a particular mood. But they definitely play in. They have that same shape throughout the drawings and paintings.
And Toby, tell us a little bit about some of the other exhibitions that you have. You've got one which is projected downward,
right.
And there's it looks like a almost like a sandbox, or it's a square area with grass around
right.
the side. Tell us
right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
That piece is a older piece, and it has a wood box with artificial grass and salt. And the video is projected downward into the white of the salt picks up the projection, and has benches that also have grass on them, and it's a video that's kind of about a visitation of myself to the grave where my father is buried, and it's about that kind of experience of being there and visiting it, and especially after many years, and so it's a very personal piece for me, and it's at the very back of the show, so you kind of go through you. At least the way that you can go through it is you see most of the show before you see that piece, and then it's at the very end. It's this very dark space. And then so that's a very personal piece. And then the other piece that's in the show is this piece on monitors, which is also a very personal piece, kind of about traumatic illness and the experience of that. And is my most recent piece, and it's. And basically, it's bookended. The show is kind of bookended by that piece and the floor installation, as a way of kind of working through a way of kind of personalizing my work and my approach to the medium.
All right. Well, Toby Kaufman-Bueller and Trent Miller, thanks so much for joining us. The exhibition is called Hidden States and Spindrift and Tether, and it runs at the James Watrous Gallery at the Overture Center through February 24th. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you very much.
And we'll be back in a little bit, right after this.